Parshas Vayera. Here we go. We're all familiar in the beginning of the parsha. The Torah records the awesome, incredible act and acts of Achnasas Orchim of Avram Avinu. And many, many things are learnt out from the way that Avram performed this act of Chesed, this act of Achnasas Orchim of welcoming those guests. I'd like to zero in on one point, which I think definitely stands out in the story, try to show how it carries through the parasha, and try to bring out a very, very basic and fundamental lesson in our Avodas Hashem. Beginning of the parasha, Vayiro Elav Hashem, Be'elonim Amrei, Hashem appears to Avram. What's Avram doing? Hu Yoshev, he's sitting. Pesach Ol D'chol Mayom. Why is he sitting there? So we all know, we knew from second grade, third grade, he's sitting there because he's waiting for the Orchim. And we know that if the third day after Bris Mila, which according to many is the most painful day after the Bris, and Avram is concerned with Orchim. And what happens? Torah says, Vayisayina Vayar, Vinei Shloshan Hashem Yisavim Alav. There's three men there. Vayar, again, he sees them. Vayorat Likrasam. He runs to them. He says to them, we know he says to them, wash your feet a little bit. I continue with Yipsukim onward. Pasuk Vav, Vayimaher Avram Ha'ol El Sarah. He doesn't just go tell Sarah, you know, maybe we can make some food for these guests. Vayimaher, he runs quickly to Sarah. And what did he say to Sarah? Yomer, Mahari, Shlosh Sim Kemach Solas. Hurry, quick. And then, how about the meat? Besides, you always need some good meat for the guests also. Vela Bakar, Rutz Avram. Avram is running. Vayikach ben bakar rach vatov. Vayitelanar. Vayimaher la so. The theme, Rabbos, which emerges from this chesed, this awesome chesed, it's not just chesed, but it's chesed that's done with a major sense of zrizus. A chesed that's done with alacrity, with quickness, with hastiness. Running. Avram is running. And bear in mind, he's 99 years old. He just had a very, very major operation. And he's bothered because he wants to do mitzvahs. And how does he do it? The entire time, running. Running to his children, telling them to get involved. Running to his wife, getting her involved. The entire time that the chesed is being performed over here, it's being performed with running over and over and over again. Thank you very much. Immediately following this story, I wanted to show you how this carries to the parasha very, very much. Immediately following the story, what happens? So we know that Sarah is told about the fact that she's going to have a child. She laughs. She's somewhat scolded for that laughter. Okay. And then what happens? Malachim leave. What does Avram do when they leave? So the Torah says, "Va'avraham holech imam l'shalcham." It's not enough that this whole act of chesed was done with tremendous reasons the entire time. That's not enough. They're leaving. Okay, so say goodbye. Thanks for coming. You know, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. It's been great. No. He walks them. He walks them out. He's malava them. And this from here we learn out the mitzvah of when guests come to our house. You malava them out of the house. He's not done. The chesed that Avram does is not, okay, fine, I'm yotze, I did it already. But it's a constant one with a constant zrizus, with a constant run, a constant alacrity, a constant movement along the entire time. But it doesn't end after this action either. If you look at the next, what's the next incident in the parasha? The next incident in the parasha is stone. People of stone. What happens in stone? So we know the Torah says, my father always used to say, when you walked into stone, there was a sign. The sign in stone said, no chesed allowed. That's how that was stone. These people are chataim, rishaim, the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. The most terrible people in the world. And what happens? Hashem says to Avram, listen, I'm going to destroy them. Says the Torah, Vayigash Avram Vayomar. What's Vayigash? Avram approaches. He doesn't just daven, but he davens with his reasons. Vayigash, he comes to Hashem ready to fight and says, Hashem, I'm ready to fight. What's going on over here? Aftispeh. Tzadikim Rasha. Is it possible that the Tzadikim and the Rasha'im are going to be wiped away together? Come on, I'll find you some tzaddikim. I'll find you one, I'll find you two, I'll find you three, I'll find you 10, I'll find you 50. Avraham Rabosai is concerned, and he's not just doing it because he's doing it, but he's doing it with a certain sense of zrizos, with a certain sense of motivation, with a certain sense of, I have to take care of this, I have to get this done. This is Avraham Avinu in the parasha. This is the zrizos that Avraham has. But it's not done there yet. My father mentioned the other day when he was in Ashir and he spoke to us, he spoke about the Vayashkim Avraham Abokers. Let's just review for a second, the last two in the parasha that he mentioned. The first one was by stone, the second one was by what, who remembers? The second one was by... No, that was the third one. The second one was by sending away Yishmael. He sends Yishmael away. That's a very hard thing to do. And what does the Torah say? Vayashkim Avraham Abokers. He doesn't sleep in. He's tired, There was a big game last night. He was busy, He played football till late in the morning. He played basketball till the wee hours in the morning. No. Avraham gets up early in the morning to do the Ratzon Hashem by Ashkenaz Avraham Boker, even though it's a hard thing to do. But again, Zrizus. The next time, the final time of the parasha, by the Akedah, Hashem says, Avraham, take Yitzchak and bring him as a korban. Again, by Ashkenaz Avraham Boker. Throughout the entire parasha, whatever Avraham is doing, he's not just doing it as it comes, but he's taking the initiative and he's doing it with a certain sense of zrizus, with a certain sense of commitment, with a certain sense of alacrity, with moving quickly. This is Avraham Avinu in the entire parasha, and this is the midah that I'd like to speak about with you a little bit today, the midah of zrizus, of doing things with a certain sense of mission, a certain sense of care and concern and commitment and alacrity. Abosa is a very, very famous, beautiful sefer, written by the Ramchal, called Mesilas Yesharim. One of the most classic Sifrei Musar and Machshava that exists, probably the classic Musar Sefer. And he has three prakim that deal with the Midah of Zrizus. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's very, very worthwhile to see. It's Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, Perek Ches, all deal with Zrizus. I take it back. There's four. Perek Vav, Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, and Perek Ches all deal with the Midah of Zrizus. I wanted to share with you a couple of highlights from the Mesilas Yesharim on this topic. One, at the beginning of Perek Zayin, he mentions the following thing. He says in Mesilas Yesharim, I'm sorry, we'll go back to Perek Vav. In Perek Vav, he says as follows, V'tira, you should know, Ki teva ha'adam kaved me'od. Man's nature, by nature, is very, very kaved. Very heavy. Ki ofrias hachomrias gas. Because the different things that make us up weigh us down. We come from the earth. Man was created afar min ha'adama. Afar is very heavy. It just goes down. You put sand and dirt into a cup of water, it just sinks straight to the bottom. Our natural teva is to be lazy. Our natural teva is to sleep in. Our natural teva is not to be quick, not to do things with a kick, with a sense of urgency, but do things okay as they come. Says Mesilas Yesharim, that's why we don't really want to be bothered. We don't want avoda. We'd rather just have Sunday every day in New York. Thank God, like in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sunday. At my children at school, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and
Friday.
Thank God for Shabbos. They don't have school on Shabbos. Thank God for them. But there's a certain sense of in the world of okay. What am I working for? I'm working so that I can retire. And when I'm going to retire, I'll sit on the beach. And when I'm on the beach, I'll read a book. And then what? I'll read another book. And then what? Another book. But for what? Because my nature is to be relaxed. And I want to relax. And I want to chill out. And I want to just be left alone. That's our nature. It says in Mesilas Yesharim, however, Ki chozek gadol tzarech l'misha rotze lichpos ha-teva al-havcho. The person wants to change his nature entirely, to flip it around, to become from being the natural heaviness that exists to us, to becoming zrizim, to becoming people that are quick. It takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of koach to flip our nature on its head totally and say, okay, I'm going to go from being heavy, weighty, just wanting to relax and kick back and just not do anything with movement to become like that. And then he points out in the next parak, in Parak Zion, he says, if you think about it, and if you look through the ages, we'll notice, fellas. He writes, "V'chein timtza." If you look throughout Tanakh, "Kol ma'aseim shal tzadikim tamid b'mehiras." the way of tzaddikim, the way they acted throughout the ages, always, is with this certain sense of mehiras, quickness, fastness, moving, as we mentioned in the parasha, Avraham. And he quotes over here, Avraham kasuva vayimaher Avraham o'ala, vayomer ma'ari, vayitein alanar vayimaher. And in next week's parasha, who's the highlighter, who's the star of next week's parasha? Excuse me? Eliezer goes to find the wife for Yitzchak, and who's the wife? Rivka. And what happens at the well? Again, Vatimaher, she's rushing, Vatar, and she's filling the water for the camels again. And he goes on to show throughout the ages, the tzaddikim throughout the ages were always moving with a certain sense of commitment, quickness, hastiness, alacrity. This is how it was throughout the ages. He goes on a lot more. Kedai to see this plakim inside. They're very beautiful and they're very, very special. I wanted to share with you two modern day examples of Zrizas. And maybe we could try to inculcate this midah more and more in our lives. And I think it'll make a very, very big difference in the way that we live our lives. The first anecdote that I'm going to share with you, my father shared with me when I was younger. When he was learning in the Kollel in YU, so the Rosh Kollel at the time, the head of the Kollel was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Shlita. He was now the Rosh Hashiva of Gush, and also officially the Rosh Kollel here in Grus. He comes to the Shiva. He gave a Shiva last night in the Shiva. He comes every Wednesday to Grus. Aviram was in charge of the Kollel, and my father oftentimes used to walk him home from Yeshiva University on Amsterdam Avenue, Washington Heights, to his home on the other side of town. My father used to tell me that he wouldn't walk. My father would basically have to jog to keep up with Aviram's walk. Before Aaron unfortunately had a stroke a few years ago and he became unfortunately much slower, I thought, see, he wouldn't walk. He happens to be very tall and have very long legs, but he would walk like a power walk, exactly. And my father would have to run to keep up with him. And he said, Lag Bomer time. They used to play ball with the guys. Aaron supposedly used to play ball with the guys. And you'd expect, you know, he's learning more than 15 hours a day probably. And he's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and you'd expect it comes time to play ball, and okay, the guy would just run circles around him. My father said, no, that's not what happened. My father said that when you play ball with him, like, he would just dash by you. Not because he was such a great ball player, but everything he did with a certain sense of his rizos, a certain sense of alacrity, of a certain sense of commitment, of mission. I gotta do this. I'm doing this well. Whatever I do, I'm doing fast. Whatever I do, I'm doing with all my heart, with all my soul. That's a certain sense of zrizus, of living a life with a certain sense of quickness, a certain sense of mission. I got to accomplish. I got to do. I have to take care of something. And Abosai, I wanted to share with you, as we close this talk for today, a few anecdotes from this book. This book is not even out in the stores yet. I'm sure Rabbi Teller told you that when he came to speak. Rabbi Teller's most recent book, it's called Too Beautiful. Many of you probably have it already. I don't know if you all read it yet. I was just inspired to pick it up. I got one last night for the following reason. Last summer in NTSY Kollel, when I taught there, I had a Talmud. His name is Jacob James. He lives in Florida. He's a very, very fine boy, a fine Talmud of mine. Unfortunately, this past January, his father passed away. I didn't know that until I came to Kollel this summer and I saw, unfortunately, he was saying Kaddish. In order to talk to him, schmoozing him a little bit, he told me his father was a very special Jew. I didn't know exactly what he was talking about. And someone told me that in the last chapter of this book, Rabbi Teller has a depiction of his life. And his father's name was Abe, Avraham, Abe James. And I wanted to share with you a couple of quick anecdotes from this book that show he was called Avraham after Avraham Avinu also, and to show what it means to live a life that's a life of Zrizus. I'll just share with you two anecdotes. One, for young Micha, it was a trauma that transcended the physical, leaving the only home he had ever known. The soldiers, his soldiers, the billy clubs, the screaming, during the forced evacuation of Amona, settlement to the West Bank, he suffered a number of injuries, including a broken nose. His nose was surgically repaired and repositioned, but the boy was warned that for at least a year he must not play sports or even dance in a crowded room for fear of re-injuring the delicate area. How did the news of an injured, traumatized boy make its way halfway around the world to Abe James in Florida? Abel is connected to all things Jewish, and he felt a profound sense of responsibility to all Jews everywhere. Soon after, Micha's family received a package labeled Purim Mask, a sturdy nose guard that would enable the boy to resume every boy's normal activities without fear. And indeed, he wore it on Purim when he danced exuberantly with the yeshiva, just as the good doctor had ordered. Who thinks like that? Who lives life with Jesus like that? I have to just read one more sentence, two more lines out of here, which is Mamash Avram Avinu. He treated all of his workers with affection, and again, that word with respect. He always provided the gardeners with cold drinks and a snack. Abe was far more than simply thoughtful. He served others with unusual and heartfelt zeal. For if he was home on a scorching day and he realized his freezer had run out of ice, Abe would stop everything, run to 7-Eleven so the gardener's drinks were refreshing and frosty cold. Is it any wonder, then, that the gardeners who came to pay a heartfelt condolence to him, that the garbage men cried when they heard of Abe's passing, that the mailman sent two condolence cards to the family after he passed away? I hope I whet your appetite to this book and to this chapter. I was almost in tears when I read it. Abosa, this is a man that passed away less than a year ago. His son's still saying Kaddish for him. But this is what it means to live life with a certain sense of zeal. This is what it means to live life with his reasons. This is what it means to live life looking for opportunities for chesed, not waiting until they come and knock on your door, but looking for chances to do chesed. And this is the legacy, fellas, of Avraham Avinu. We're all, Baruch Hashem, blessed to be part of that legacy. And we should all be zocha to try to inculcate more and more Jesus into our lives and to make lives meaningful and more and more and more special. Have a great Shabbos, fellas.